Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. They're enjoying this Sunday, another day to worship God. So I know that a lot of you know that our church is currently in a transition period. We are searching for a new Chinese pastor for the Chinese congregation, of course. So we invite you to continue to be praying for that effort as God will bring in another pastor to be able to lead and serve our church and to be able to glorify God's name. This is something that is of importance right now, and we need to keep this in our prayers. Now, I've heard of many stories of where there's churches who have to go through this process of finding a new pastor. And here's a story, but it's more seen as a joke type of story. So there once was a pastor search committee who was interviewing a recent seminary graduate for a church position. And this candidate was very young, and the committee wondered about his level of knowledge in the Bible. So the chairman of this committee, during an interview, ask this seminary graduate, "Do you know the Bible?" And this is what the student said. He said, "Of course, I graduated from seminary." "Then why don't you tell us a story of the Bible? How about the Good Samaritan? Let's say that parable." And the pastoral candidate was like, "Sure, no problem." And he said, and this is what it says, "There was once a man of the Samaritans named Nicodemus. He went down to Jerusalem by night, and he fell among the stony ground, and thorns choked him half to death. So he said, 'What shall I do? I will arise and go to my father's house.' So he rose and climbed up a sycamore tree. And the next day, three wise men came and got him carried into the ark for Moses to take care of him. But as he was going into the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair in a limb, and he was hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry, and ravens came and fed him. Then the next day, he caught a boat and sailed down to Jerusalem. When he got there, he saw Delilah sitting on the wall. And he said, 'Chunker down, boys.' They said, 'How many times shall we chunker down? Until 7 times 7? "No, not until 7, but 70 times 7. So they threw her down 490 times, and she burst asunder into the mist, and they picked her up 12 baskets of fragments that were there. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be?" And the committee sat there stunned after hearing this story. They conferred briefly with one another, and then the chairman spoke to this young seminary graduate, and he said, "Well, young man, we're going to recommend you to be our next pastor. You may be young, but you sure know your Bible." So I can't even come up with a story like that. I kid you not. But I guess I share this because it is possible for us to have a lot of knowledge without having wisdom. You see, just like this recent seminary graduate, you can be knowledgeable so much about the facts and all the details about the Bible, but when it comes to the wisdom, you know, everything that he says out becomes nonsense. He doesn't have the wisdom. He doesn't have the understanding about the spiritual truths in the Bible about what God is trying to teach. So I feel like a lot of times we may find ourselves in that type of situation where we may know a lot about the Bible, but then when it comes to actually having wisdom and actually understanding the Bible, we struggle with that. You might find yourself in this situation. Maybe sometimes you're reading the Bible by yourself and you're just like, "I just don't understand what God is trying to say here." Or maybe same thing when you're attending Sunday school. "I don't understand what the Sunday school teacher is saying from the Bible." Or even like right now during the sermon, "I don't understand what God is trying to say through the sermon, through this book." And as a result, because of this type of discouragement, we skip out on our reading. We actually, maybe some of us, just even skip out going to church because we don't feel that the Bible is relevant in our lives. We don't feel that there's any application because we don't seem to have this wisdom, don't have this understanding of the Bible. So how is it possible for us to have this true wisdom and a true understanding of the Bible? I'm here to say that it is possible. It is possible for understanding God's word, even though sometimes we may feel that it is very hard. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out, and we're going to be turning to today's passage. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, it's one of the epistles of the Apostle Paul. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in pews in front of you, or if your neighbor is nice enough, they can share with you. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We're going to mainly focus from verses 6 to 16, so basically to the end of the chapter. But for context, we will actually start reading from the beginning of chapter 2, from verse 1. But before I begin reading, 1 Corinthians, again, like I said, is one of the epistles of Apostle Paul. He was writing a letter to the Christians in the church of Corinth, and he was instructing them. So I hope you're there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start from the beginning all the way to the end of chapter 2. Please follow along as I read. Verse 1, "And I," this being Paul, "when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 6. "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagines, what God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." Verse 14. "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has instructed the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your head to me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, you are our Lord, you are our Savior, and we praise you and thank you for what you've done in our lives, for creating us, for saving us, for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. We are forever in your debt for that. But Lord, we have to admit that just sometimes in our lives, we feel very far away from you. We admit that sometimes when we read the Bible, that we have trouble understanding it. Maybe because there's so many vocabulary, so many terms, so much history that we don't seem to know the background about. But Lord, even aside from all these things, help us to see and understand that it is possible for us to understand your word. Help us to see that even right now, that you are speaking to us and that you're showing us more about who you are and what you expect of us and all that you have provided for us to live a good and holy life to please you. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears so that we could see the wonderful things in your word. Help us to understand and have wisdom of your word. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So for this passage today, we're going to be answering three questions. So if you'd like to take notes, please jot these down, and they will be helpful, especially for the Friday night fellowships when we start to talk about the discussion with the sermon. So three questions that we're going to answer from this passage. Question number one, what is the wisdom of God? Okay, so number one is, what is the wisdom of God? Then next, we're going to answer our second question. Why is it possible for us to understand God's wisdom? Okay, so why is it possible to understand God's wisdom? And then finally, question number three, what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? So what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? So let me repeat those three questions. Number one, what is the wisdom of God? Number two, why is it possible for us to understand God's wisdom? And then finally, number three, as we said, what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? So to start off, let's begin with the first question. What is the wisdom of God? And for us to really understand God's wisdom, for us to really understand the Bible, then we first have to know what we are to understand in the first place. So if we are to try to understand God's wisdom, understand the Bible, we have to first know what is it that we are trying to seek to understand. So let's start reading with me. We're going to start from verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age." So here, the Apostle Paul is saying that he, and he says we, so he mentions of all the other apostles that are also, they say that they are preaching wisdom to the mature Christians in Corinth. Now, I think if some of you were here with us last weekend, you may remember that we were looking at Matthew chapter 19, talking about the rich young ruler. And in verse 21 of chapter 19 of Matthew, Jesus had told this rich young ruler, "Oh, if you would be perfect, you know, sell what you possess, give to the poor, and before you have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." You know, he said, if you were to be perfect. This word perfect, teleos in Greek, is the same word that we see here for mature. When Paul says in verse 6, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom." So Paul is addressing to the mature and righteous Christians that are in the church. He has this particular message to them. He's imparting a particular wisdom to them. And this wisdom is not a wisdom of this age. So what do we mean by that? It's not like what is currently popular in thinking and in philosophy. It's not this type of wisdom. And it also is saying that, oh, it's also not the wisdom of the rulers of this age. For these rulers, they will pass away. So when we think about, not necessarily rulers, but I guess the great philosophers, physicists, and the great thinkers in our day-to-day, you know, we would think about like someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the astrophysicist, or even Stephen Hawking, who unfortunately recently passed away in March, or Richard Dawkins, or for those of you who are in like the Chinese culture, you might think of like some Chinese philosophers like Confucius, or Lao Tzu, or Manzi. Like all these great thinkers, we are considered the great wisdom of like the age of our time. But here, when Paul is saying that he's preaching and imparting wisdom to the church, he's not talking about this type of wisdom. He's not talking about the wisdom of this age. Then what type of wisdom is he talking about? Continue on with me in verse 7. "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." So Paul is actually imparting and preaching about the wisdom of God. Now, what is the wisdom of God? And I think in context, we can infer that it's talking about, relating to Jesus Christ. Jump over back to verse 1 and verse 2. Now, at the beginning of this passage, Apostle Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaim to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So this thing that, this wisdom that Paul is imparting has to do with Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then if you go back another verse, go to chapter 1, verse 30, it says this, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So again, we here in context, we see that this wisdom that the Apostle Paul is imparting has to do with Jesus Christ, has to do with salvation. So let's answer our first question. And I guess as you hear this, the answer to this question, you might be a little bit confused, but I'll explain it. So question number one, what is the wisdom of God? Here's the answer. The wisdom of God are the spiritual truths revealed to us in Scripture by which we can have future glory. I'll say that one more time. What is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God are the spiritual truths revealed to us in Scripture by which we can have future glory. So this wisdom of God, how does Paul describe it? Back in verse 7. "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. So Paul describes this wisdom of God as being secret, as being hidden. So what does that mean? Well, it's secret and hidden only in the sense that it can only be revealed by God. So earlier, when we're talking about Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God, many of us know as Christians that we can find salvation through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is fully God, and over 2,000 years ago, came into this earth as fully man as well. So he's 100% man, 100% God, and he was qualified to die on the cross and pay the price for our sins. And through faith in him, we can have salvation. This is part of the wisdom of God. This is something that was secret and hidden. Now, some of you may be thinking, how is this something that is secret and hidden? You know? Because usually when you think about, okay, what do you think about when you think about the best kept secret in the world? You know, if you think about it, like, you would think, oh, I got this secret. I don't want anyone to know about it. I'm not even going to tell my friends. I'm not even going to tell my family. I'm just going to keep it to myself. But soon, like, let's say after, like, a couple of decades, you'll die, and you haven't told anyone your secret, and as a result, that secret goes away too. So really, the best kept secrets are the ones in which you can be able to pass on to the next generation. So this is what, like, the Apostle Paul is talking about when he's talking about, you know, that this wisdom of God is something that is secret and hidden. It's secret and hidden in the sense that it has to be revealed by God to you. And that's how you can come to know this wisdom of God. This is how you can come to salvation in Jesus Christ. But it's not only to have salvation, but also everything that you need to live a good and holy life. So just a quick illustration. Yesterday, I went to a birthday party. Yes, I think someone my age, who would go to birthday parties? But no, this is a birthday party of a one-year-old child. And in this party, there were some other children that were there. And I was, and actually, it was held at the seminary that I graduated from. So when I was there at this party, I noticed, like, two children. They were twins, and they're daughters of one of my seminary professors. And they were playing hide and seek. One of the daughters decided to run into the seminary library in the dark, hide under the table, and she didn't want her sister to find her. And her sister was just hiding in the corner, counting to, I think, 50 or something. I think she cheated because she skipped a few numbers. But the father, basically my professor, was, like, watching them. And then, like, the girl who was hiding, she's like, "Dad, don't tell Sissy about that I'm hiding here in the library." And then he was like, "Okay, I won't tell her that you're hiding in the library," like, very loudly like that. And after, like, the 50, she had heard what her father said, and she decided to listen and obey her father, and then go into the library to try to look for her. And of course, eventually, she found her sister. But you see, there's no way that this sister would have known where her sister was actually hiding if their father didn't reveal or didn't say to them, say to the sister about where to find her. So this is sort of the same thing when we're talking about salvation. How can man know salvation and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? We can only know it through God's word. We can only know it by God revealing that to us. You know? So what else does this say about the wisdom of God? Verse 7 again. "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages." Before the ages. So this means that from the very beginning of time, before everything was made in earth, God, in all of his holiness, in all of his glory, had already chosen, had already determined salvation for all of us. He already had a plan of salvation even before he created us. And that's how much God was thinking about each and every one of us, because he didn't want us to be separated from sin. And not only that, for that, this wisdom of God, salvation, and helping us to grow in holiness, also has a different purpose. Look at verse 7 again. "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages," what does it say? "For our glory." For our glory. So this wisdom of God is also for our glorification. And then some of you may hear that and say, think that's weird. And you say, wait, shouldn't only God be the one who is glorified? And yes, that is true. God is is glorified, in meaning that he manifests in his wisdom, manifests in his holiness, manifests in all the great characteristics. That's what it means when it talks about God's glory. But also, when we talk about our glorification, it refers to something else. You see, at the end of our life, you know, one day after Jesus returns a second time, he defeats Satan, he defeats death and all sin. We'll be given new glorified bodies. It will be a time when there will be no more sin, no more weeping, no more hurting, no more pain. Think about the situations that you're in right now, all the trials that you're going through, all the hurts and pain. All of that will be completely gone one day when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, and we are given glorified bodies. And this will be an eternal state. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us." Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." So the wisdom of God that is revealed to us today is something that God has planned before the beginning of time, is something that is for us, and is for our glorification, because God wishes to sanctify us and redeem us completely from sin. So again, let's answer question one again. What is the wisdom of God? And as we said, the wisdom of God are the spiritual truths revealed to us in Scripture by which we can have future glory. The wisdom of God are the spiritual truths revealed to us in Scripture by which we can have future glory. Isn't this something that is amazing? That God would be thinking of us in our sin and in our the times when we've turned away from Him, He yet still provided a way of redemption. Look at verse 9. "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him." None of us can ever imagine, can never see or hear, and can never even fathom about what God has planned for us for salvation. No, this is undeserved grace that He would send His one and only Son 2,000 years ago on this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And even today, we are continually being sanctified as God reveals to us in His Word what He desires of us, and as we repent of our sin, so that one day when Christ returns, we will be glorified again. We'll receive future glory, and we will not experience any more hurt, pain, or suffering, or sin. So the application for us for this first point is that I believe that we should desire and receive God's wisdom from His Word. Maybe some of us, again, we might have this idea that, oh, I read the Bible and I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't think it's applicable, and there doesn't seem to be anything that I can get out of it. But no, I believe that what we learned here is that we should desire to receive God's wisdom from His Word. Now, again, from the beginning of time, God has already planned out salvation and sanctification for us, and it's affecting us in this present time and our eternal future because He loves us. We should desire God's wisdom from His Word. Check out what the Proverbs have to say about God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Also, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 to 14. It says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." So again, if we are to desire to understand God's wisdom, we first need to know that we should search for God's wisdom. And like we said, sometimes it is hard to understand God's wisdom from the Bible. So again, this leads us to our second question, which we will now answer. Question number two, why is it possible for us to have, or for us to understand God's wisdom? So a lot of us struggle with it, understanding God's word. And so why is it possible for us to understand God's wisdom? So I'll give you the answer to this second question right away. So we have the Holy Spirit, who not only revealed to us the wisdom of God, but also helps us to understand it. I'll say that one more time. We have the Holy Spirit, who not only revealed to us the wisdom of God, but also helps us understand it. Look at me with starting from verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So this verse clearly states that God reveals to us wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? No, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. No, we're talking about, it's not an it. It's not like what some people think of, like the Force, as in like in the Star Wars. No, the Holy Spirit is not like a force, but the Holy Spirit is a person. It is God. No, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is our counselor, is our guide, is our helper. And He convicts us of our sin and leads us into faith to believe into Jesus Christ. And we receive the Holy Spirit the moment when we were regenerated, the moment when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So if you are a Christian right now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, then know that you have been given the Holy Spirit. You know, after all, Jesus says that I will always be with you to the end of the ages. This is one way in which He shows how He is always with us. And the Holy Spirit, who is working in us, is revealing to us the wisdom of God through His Scripture. But not only that, He's also helping us to understand it. Look at verse 11. So Paul goes on, and he gives an illustration I think some of us can relate to. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So essentially, Paul is saying that, you know, someone, imagine a person, they have their thoughts, but everyone else, they don't know what this person is thinking, except for that person himself. You know, you can't read other people's minds. Only the spirit of that person can know what this person is thinking. So likewise, when we're talking about God, if we want to know the thinking and the thoughts of God and the wisdom of God, then we need to know the Holy Spirit, who also reveals to us what God is thinking. So a lot of people have asked me the question of, oh, if I ever had a superpower, what superpower would I like? And I always say that I would like to have the superpower where I get to essentially copy and steal other people's superpowers so that in the end I can be able to accumulate everyone else's superpowers and then dominate the world. But I think as a second, I would also say, okay, it would be nice to be able to read people's minds. Because, you know, sometimes you're wondering, what are you thinking about? Sometimes you just wonder what this person is thinking about so that you can be able to take care of them better or to be able to know like, what they're thinking about you or something like that. So a skill like that could be actually very helpful, especially in marriage. Because I think a lot of times, you know, your wife would be like, oh, I'm mad. I'm like, I don't know why you're mad. I can't read minds. And it would be nice if like I can be able to just know. Because sometimes wives just sort of expect that you would you're a mind reader and you can know everything. But anyways, so this is the whole idea about like reading minds and really understanding what God is thinking. But so as we were saying, in order to know the thoughts of God, the wisdom of God, we need the Holy Spirit. Jump to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God, that we might understand the things freely given to us. So again, question number two, why is it possible for us to understand God's wisdom? And we said, we have the Holy Spirit who not only revealed to us the wisdom of God, but also helps us to understand it. So I think sometimes you may wonder, okay, how practically, how does the Holy Spirit reveal to us God's wisdom? Well, I guess even sometimes as you are reading the Bible yourself in your daily devotionals, as you ask God to teach you, to open your eyes, you know, God will give you understanding. You know, a lot of times I have to, as a pastor, I don't understand all of the Bible. You know, for sometimes when I don't understand something, I would pray about it. I'll read it over and over again until I be able to see in context what God is trying to say through this passage. You can, as application, I believe that you guys can also apply that as well. And at the same time, God also uses other people to be able to help us understand his word. You know, look at verse 6 when the Apostle Paul says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom." And also verse 13, "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit." So God uses apostles, God uses the preachers to share God's word so that you can be able, and the Holy Spirit uses that so that you can understand his word. You see, even right at this moment, God and the Holy Spirit could be speaking to you right now and helping you understand what he's saying in this passage. You know, I believe that God can use the preacher, God can use your Sunday school teacher, God can use your parents, your friends, to really help you understand what he says in his word. No, we're not alone. We're all one body in Christ. So this is also how God can use the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the wisdom from his word. So again, as application, also be open to how God may be speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, through someone else, or maybe even directly through his word. We should desire it. We should pray that God will give us this understanding. So finally, let's move on to our third question. So this last part of the sermon. So question number 3, we asked, what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? What is the result for understanding God's wisdom? So, okay, so I get this. So we should desire to God's wisdom, and when we can be able to understand God's wisdom and receive it through the Holy Spirit. But so what? In the end, what should come out of that? So number 3, what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? So with that, let's pick it up from verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So when Apostle Paul talks about the natural person, he's talking about the person who is not a believer, the person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them. And of course, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you won't understand God's word. And even everything to them will be seen as folly, as foolishness. But Paul makes a comparison. Verse 15, "However, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So here, those who are spiritual, those who are Christians, those who have the Holy Spirit within them, are able to understand God's wisdom, and they are able to understand it to the fullest. But let's answer our third question. What are the results of understanding God's wisdom? Here's the answer. Understanding God's wisdom results in discernment and obedience to his word. Okay, one more time. Understanding God's wisdom results in discernment and obedience to his word. You know, verse 15 when it says, "The spiritual person judges all things." Because the spiritual person has the Holy Spirit in them, they're able to be able to judge and know what is right from wrong. They'd be able to apply what they learned from Scripture into their lives as well. You know, sometimes we have trouble discerning what is right and wrong in this life, especially in this world where there's so many voices telling us what we should be able to do. So I think a lot of times you may have heard this illustration of a $100 bill. Now, this $100 bill, no, I don't have one with me, unfortunately. I can't give one out. I'm poor. No. But the $100 bill can often be counterfeited. You know? So how do people know the difference between a real $100 bill and a fake $100 bill? You think, oh, maybe if we study the real one enough, then we can be able to find out which one's the fake one. No, actually, it's the other way around. If you study the counterfeit ones, if you know all if you look very closely, even at a $1 bill, there's so many different markings, watermarks, and so many details there, that if you become familiar and with what it seems to be off in the counterfeit one, then you can be able to identify, oh, this is fake, and this is real. So this is the same thing in this case. When we're trying to discern what is right or wrong in this life and have this type of discernment and to judge, to know how to properly apply God's word, we need to have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us to have that discernment. And as a result, we also have the mind of God. Verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Now, what does it mean to have the mind of the Lord? Now, some of us would say, oh, you have like God's brain into this little jar here. No, we're not talking about like physically having God's mind, but in a sense, we're talking about thinking and knowing what God expects. To have the mind of Christ is to actually be obedient to his word. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. It says this, have this among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So talking about this mind of Christ is to be like Christ and how he obeyed God in even dying on the cross to the point of death. So to truly have godly wisdom is not only hearing God's word, but also doing it, applying it, knowing to judge right and wrong. No, we can only have that discernment if we have the Holy Spirit within us. So let us review everything that we've learned from this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, we answered three questions. So let's review. Question number one, what is the wisdom of God? We said that the wisdom of God are the spiritual truths that are revealed to us in Scripture by which we can have future glory. Question number two, why is it possible for us to understand God's wisdom? And we said we have the Holy Spirit who not only revealed to us the wisdom of God, but also helps us to understand it. And finally, as we just said, question three, what is the result of understanding God's wisdom? And the result is results in discernment and having obedience to God's word. So having discernment and obedience to God's word. So I know many of us, we're very, very ambitious in this life. We strive to want to do well in this life and to be very knowledgeable and to excel well in school, in our jobs, to make a lot of money. Like, we have a lot of ambitions in this life. But in the end, even if we were to gain all of the knowledge in this world, we can still end up having no hope. Because without wisdom, and particularly without God's wisdom, and without understanding God's wisdom, we have no hope, and we have no hope in this life and also in our future as well. God gave us his word to understand it because he loves us. So let us turn our desires, let's turn our ambitions into the desire to want to know and understand God's wisdom in his word. And we know that we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that. And this is how much that God loves us. Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer and respond in worship? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this may be a very convicting message. It may be a very long message. It may be something that can be hard to follow along as well. But Lord, we know that we can be able to grasp it if we are trusting in the Holy Spirit within us, who is giving us wisdom and understanding of your wisdom through your word. Father, I pray that this gives us hope. Help us to see that through understanding your wisdom, we can be able to apply it. We can be able to live a life that pleases you and that glorifies you. And we know that one day we will have this glorified body where we won't experience any more hurts or pain or suffering or sin, the things that we experience right now. Lord, this is how much that you love us. This is how much you care about us. Lord, thank you that you are knowable. We can spend this whole life trying to know you, but only to scratch the surface. But yet, we can still be able to know you enough as a personal God, as our Savior, who sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And we should forever praise you and thank you for that. You are our Lord. We lift all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.